Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. It's hour two. It's Thursday. Live in LA, it's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, Joy Taylor's joining me. Was there ever a place in your house where your parents locked something away? Like you tried to open something up and it was locked and you were like, what is in there? We had one little cabinet my parents locked. And it was in an area that was like it wasn't a private room area. They kept it locked. And I was always, as a little kid, what is going on in there?
Nah, my mom didn't really have to lock stuff up. You knew the consequences of doing something she didn't ask you to do.
I don't know if I ever found out what was in that cabinet. But if you lock stuff up, no matter how good all the other stuff is, that's the only cabinet you care about as a kid.
Oh, yeah. No, that is definitely true.
Didn't matter. Didn't matter what was in all the other cabinets, even if it was good food and good books. That was a cabinet I cared about.
No, you want the thing that you don't have free access to.
And so with Jordan Love, I'm fascinated because I can't see him. Jordan Love's been locked away in Green Bay. Never heard him talk. Rarely, in fact, even when he practices well, there's no video of him. We've been joking he's the Loch Ness Monster. Just images briefly. Yesterday, he talked. He seemed to do fine. So here is Jordan Love, the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers, a talented kid. I said, when you see him in college, there's something there. He's got a big old arm. He's got some Mahomes to him. He's been there a year. It's the Packers. It's one of the biggest franchises in American sports. Here's Jordan Love talking.
Are you prepared to be the quarterback week number one?
100%. Obviously, this is a time where, you know, I'm getting a lot of extremely valuable reps that, you know, I might not have been getting in a normal circumstance. I mean, that's what I'm here for. I was drafted here to play quarterback, so I'll definitely be ready week one.
What was it like working with Aaron last year?
I mean, it was awesome. You know, not a lot of people get to say they, you know, were able to sit behind the MVP of the league. He's been in the league a long time. He's learned a lot of things and seen a lot of different things. So, you know, he has a lot of knowledge, and just being able to be behind him and try and soak up as much as I could, definitely very valuable.
Yeah, I'd let him talk. He's good. I don't know why you were keeping him under bubble wraps. He's fine. But it's interesting. So, you know, in the NFL, got to be headed in one direction. The noisier you are, the worse the team is. Just always works that way. Green Bay is in a weird situation where they're trying to develop Jordan Love slowly and appease Aaron Rodgers. And I asked Greg Jennings this question yesterday. Are they hiding Jordan Love? That's what it looks like to me, or am I being too harsh?
Well, no, I don't think that they're hiding Jordan Love. I just think that they're not allowing him to become the face of the Green Bay Packers. I think that's most of the reason why we haven't seen Jordan Love out in public, in front of the cameras, speaking up, because it's really not his team. They don't want to send that message in terms of how Aaron Rodgers would interpret it and say, oh, so it's his team now.
So my takeaway on that is it's basically like, it's like having a mistress and she lives with the family. Honey, I swear I'm committed to you. She's just down in the basement. So you got Jordan, who you're now letting talk. I mean, all the stories are Jordan Love. And then you got Aaron, but you want to make sure you don't offend Aaron, according to Greg Jennings, because that's not the message you want. This is why we say, you probably got to rip the Band-Aid off. By the way, when you rip the Band-Aid off, hurts briefly, heals quickly. So, and I'll say, I don't think it's a PR battle. I think that's all nonsense. This whole thing comes down to, can Jordan play? If he can play, there's not even an issue. If he can play, and I don't think they'll determine it in minicamp, but at the end of minicamp, if they feel good about it, they're going to start taking calls on Aaron Rodgers because they can get 3 or 4 or 5 picks and a good player. So, you know, I think to myself, you're doing two things here. Here's the future, and here's the guy that will probably move. And they're going to be, can you imagine how many times Jordan Love is going to be asked about Aaron Rodgers if he's a holdout? Can you imagine? Everybody's going to be walking on eggshells. So to me, at some point you got to rip the Band-Aid off with Aaron. You know, I still contend do it in season, but I mean, I don't know. Aaron, I honestly had no idea what that kid sounded like.
I never heard his voice.
And I was just like, oh, he's good. All right, we're ready to go. He's going.
He was very poised.
Yeah, very poised. Not the easiest questions. Are you going to be ready week one? Yeah, you drafted me here. I'm ready. Playing behind Aaron's great. But it's you are walking this tightrope where everybody's walking on eggshells. And if you get asked about Aaron, it's awesome. It's great. Nobody wants to defend him. And the fan base, it's just a lot of anxiety and a lot of tension. At some point, you're going to have to rip a Band-Aid off here. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. But he always heals quickly.
They've already been through this before.
Yeah, and it was fine. And by the way, Aaron's first year, they were 6-10. It's okay. It was not great for a year.
And you moved up in the first round to get him, so you knew that this was coming anyway.
Yeah. Aaron's first year was a losing record. A lot of stats, but they went from a championship-level team to a losing record to being very good again. Like, we've gone through this. It'll be ugly for a year. No question.
I mean, unless he's terrible, it might not even be that ugly. He has great pieces around him.
Oh, no, it's tremendous.
They were in the NFC Championship.
And they just, last 2 years, they've drafted 6 offensive linemen, 5 are developmental, 1 will start at center eventually. Star receiver, star back. Yeah,
if he's average, they'll be good.
Oh, if he's average, they will be a wild card team. If he's better than average, they'll win the division.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the pain. Aaron went 6-10, and you were fine with it. So to me, by the way, I can make an argument. Now's the year to do it because the Lions have a new coach and a new quarterback, and the Bears are going to be starting a rookie quarterback. I mean, you can make an argument. If you've ever wanted to start a rookie quarterback in that division, this is the year. Chicago's starting a rookie. Lions got a new staff. It's going to be a clunky division. It's going to be one of the weaker divisions. This is the year to give Jordan Love a role and build some confidence. And by the way, the Packers' early season schedule has both, I think, the Jets and the Giants. I could be wrong on that, but that's Denver's schedule. That's my bad. That was my bad. Ryan Hollins' podcast, The Opinionated Seven-Footers, 10 years in the NBA, 9 different teams now joining us live. And I say 9 different teams because one of the things I talked about Chris Paul today, he gets drafted to a team that because of Katrina has to play in another city. That he goes to a tanking team. He goes to the worst owner in Donald Sterling. And then he goes to Phoenix, and they were a bad team. And I don't think we value how hard it is when you're bouncing around to bad owners and bad teams and natural disasters. And I watch Chris Paul, and I think to myself, 16 years, Ryan, that dude he's had to make his way the entire time. There's been chaos from ownership down. And The media doesn't respect him because they never give him MVP votes. What do players think about Chris Paul?
Well, here's the deal. You know, I played with Chris 2 seasons with the Clippers, and you've got to look at his resume, and you've got to respect that he changes cultures. You brought it up, whether it was New Orleans, whether it was the Clippers, OKC, and even, you know, more impressively here with the Phoenix Suns. He can be hard to play alongside because Chris is so demanding and competitive, but you cannot argue with what he does for your culture. He brought expectations to the Clippers that we didn't have. You know, there was no championship Clippers talk until Chris Paul there, and that's the reality. You know, I signed for less money to come and play with the Clippers with Blake and Chris because I felt like this was an opportunity for me to win a championship after playing in Boston. But I felt like he's fallen into a sweet spot because Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, they're too close of peers. Those guys competed with each other. James Harden, too close of peers. They competed. But he's in a situation now with Devin Booker now, last year with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, where he's clearly the mentor. Chris Paul needs their help. They see eye to eye. They're asking Chris for advice. They're asking him for help. And I think that his real legacy is changing your culture, putting your team in a playoff scenario and getting you over the hump. Every place that he's been at, he's gotten them over the hump. Houston made it to the Western Conference Finals, however you want to put it. Made some think they were a hamstring away. I think that Golden State would have elevated themselves to another level to win. That team was just different. But ultimately, we can't take away from what Chris Paul does for your culture and gives you a winning organization.
So I thought the Clippers' loss to the Jazz was the best playoff loss so far. They had basically half a day's rest. Utah had 6. It was full capacity. It was probably the loudest crowd I've seen in the NBA playoffs this year. Paul George didn't play well at all. Kawhi was a little under his usual standard. And Donovan Mitchell had the best half of his career. And I said, after watching that, I actually feel like the Clippers are a better team. I can't believe it came down to a final shot. Your thought on the Clippers and the Jazz game one? Not that I thought the better team lost, because I thought Utah deserved to win that game. But I came out of that game and I thought, I cannot believe it's this close. I think the Clippers now are going to win this series. Your thoughts?
Hey, Colin, when they were down 3-2 against Dallas, I you can quote me on this. I said the Clippers are the best team in the Western Conference. I saw it all the way back then. Ultimately, I was more impressed with the Jazz. I didn't think they could play, 2021 basketball with versatility and, small ball and big wings all over the court. And they did it. What most so impressed me about the Utah Jazz is their execution. They know Donovan Mitchell is their guy, and he is producing down the stretch. At some point, the ball is getting in Donovan's hands. Rudy's on the rim, and you got shooters all around. And they were excellent. No Mike Conley, big factor for the Jazz. I was more impressed with the Jazz, but Colin, I agree with you. Kawhi Leonard is playing on a whole nother level the way that he looked in that game 7 versus Dallas. Defensively, this team has grown. And Colin, you know this. We were all gung-ho about the Los Angeles Clippers, not because their offensive output or what they could do, but you felt like, hey, defensively, this was a unit with Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Patrick Beverley that can guard anybody in the league, including LeBron James, Kevin Durant, whoever they come up against, and we just haven't seen it. And now we're seeing glimpses of them defensively come around. Behind the scenes, I don't know if it's because he coached LeBron James to a championship, but no one's putting respect on Tyronn Lue's name. Tyronn Lue is a championship coach, was a championship player, and I watched him make adjustment after adjustment against the Dallas Mavericks. And Rick Carlisle, coach I also played for Ty Lue, played with Rick Carlisle. Rick Carlisle's an evil genius behind the scenes in adjustments. That's as good of a coach as you can get. But Tyronn Lue played the chess match with him, and that's something, Colin, that I felt like the Clippers were missing, but they bought into Ty Lue from what I see, and I agree with you.
I talk about a team that doesn't get a lot of talk because we feel that Brooklyn is the best team in the East and they're rolling over Milwaukee, and the team is Philadelphia. You, of course, had Doc Rivers as a coach. I said this yesterday. I remember asking Tony Gonzalez, the Hall of Fame football player, tight end. I said, how many players were as committed as you? Like really, truly committed, like Russell Wilson committed, Tom Brady committed. And Tony Gonzalez said about 3%. I was just floored. And I was talking about this with Joy yesterday, is indifference, I can't live with it. Joel Embiid may have issues. He cares so deeply. He is so passionate. And I watch Ben Simmons, and I got to tell you, I see a lot of Hollywood. I see indifference. His game doesn't get better. And if Doc can't motivate you, I do. I look at Philadelphia now, and I said it yesterday, I was always a Ben Simmons guy. I don't think you can solve indifference, Ryan. You played in this league 10 years. Where do you go with Ben Simmons? He hadn't worked in his shot in 4 years. Not going to start tomorrow.
Colin, I called it a long time ago. First off, I want to put this out there. I love Ben Simmons. He's going to be an all-star for a very long time in the league. But I remember on your show, you compared him to Magic Johnson, and I threw up in my mouth. Okay? That's all due respect. The reason I say that, is not that he doesn't have LeBron James-like talent or Magic Johnson-like talent. It's that the game comes too easy for him. It's almost comparative physically to Shaquille O'Neal on the wing. Why do I say Shaq? Two different players, right? Shaquille O'Neal was so good in his prime. He could go and chill any offseason, make music, do albums, show up and give you 40 and 20. Ben Simmons has that similar type of frame. Ben Simmons, 6'9", fast, can jump out the gym. Natural instinct to pass, and Colin, you know it, great passers are not born on trees. So Ben Simmons is a guy who's just content being a walking triple-double. Does he hurt you when you won a championship? Yes. Does he hurt you in the regular season? No. Guys don't scheme for you. They don't play that hard. You know, back in the day, I date myself because I think everything's done on a cloud now or the computer. We would get a book this thick on the other team's scouting report, which means we know everything that you do. So which means Ben Simmons, until he works on his game or gets a jump shot, he's going to be ineffective in the playoffs. I called it long ago. Does it mean he's a bad player? No, but you have to cap his growth on what he's going to do. He's not going to be a guy unless in a perfect ideal system that's going to lead you to a championship. Is he a really, really good player? Yes. Is he an all-star? Yes. Is he a superstar? No. I just don't see the growth that you would expect to see. And Colin, they went crazy when I called it for us. Not that I don't like Ben. I just never thought the drive was there.
Yeah. By the way, I just found this out. You play Luka Doncic is as good a 22-year-old I've seen since LeBron James. You actually played with him in a Spanish league. So how old was he? And did you know he would be this good?
I did. And the one thing about the Spanish league, we have to understand the nuances of overseas basketball versus NBA ball. They are so technical. Okay, Luka was probably 16 or 17 years old at the time. And when you play in the Spanish league, if you don't have a left hand, you know what they're going to do? They're going to over-exaggerate and send you to your left hand. If you can't shoot a step-back jumper or the guy goes under a screen, your coach is going to make you sit for hours on end until you can shoot behind screens. I say that to say there are no flaws in Luka Doncic's game. And when I saw that he was coming to the NBA, I said, dude, this kid is a no-brainer. Number one pick in the draft. If I want to compare Real Madrid, the team that he played on, to anyone, they are the Yankees, okay, of the Spanish league. And the kid was getting busy in the clutch since he was 16 or 17 years old. So NBA basketball is easy for Luka. Hands down, number one pick. And that was no disrespect to Trey, which we saw. No disrespect to DeAndre Ayton, who's going pound for pound with the NBA's MVP right now. But Luka Doncic is a guy who this year, Colin, He has a skill set that I want to say only one other player has. It's LeBron James. Why? Because he can dominate a game. I'll give you James Harden has a similar skill set. What do I mean? He can dominate and control a game, whether it be scoring, passing. You can put the ball in Luka's hands, and he can bring home a victory. Three guys in the league I would trust with that assignment, and James Harden has to prove it in the playoffs.
Good stuff, Ryan Hollins, decade in the league. Good seeing you, bud. Appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate it, Colin. Anytime, bud.
By the way, Mike D'Antoni, Joy mentioned this, interested in the Blazers head coaching position. As I was watching that Suns game last night, you do look and think, God, what is Dame thinking? They got rolled by Denver, and Denver can't compete with Phoenix. And by the way, outside of Chris Paul, Phoenix just kids. They're all getting better. Booker's getting better. DeAndre Ayton's getting better. Mikhail Bridges getting better.
I will say in Denver's defense, they are not fully healthy right now.
Yeah, Jamal Murray.
It would be a much longer
series. But even with all those injuries, they roll Portland.
Yes.
And you're sitting there just like.
That is what has to be frustrating.
That's why I defend players. Like, it would drive you nuts. Like, sometimes if you're Dame Lillard and you care passionately, you almost have to emotionally be selfish and just say, in Portland, I'm making a lot of money and I'm scoring a lot of points and I got a good career beyond that. I'm doing some music stuff. I can't get caught up in the wins.
Well, have you ever had a job where you feel compelled to do everything? Like you feel compelled to pick up the slack for other people because you know it will elevate everyone. Like you're like, oh, I'll run the social media and I'll run the website and I'll do the show and I'll do this. Like there's just certain situations where you just know there's not enough. So you do more. And then after a while you take a step back and realize like, wait a minute, I'm not being paid to do all of this. Like, let me just excel at what I do.
Well, I've been lucky. I've worked for winning teams in my broadcast career, except one in Tampa. And I do remember, that my mindset changed. My mind was just, I'm just going to do good work. The rest of this place is a mess. So selfishly, I'm just going to work on my stuff. And I couldn't give a rip I'm not going to be a team player because I don't trust the team. The sports guys were good, but the news operation was just a barnyard musical. So it's funny because you're sitting there as Dame, and Dame's loyal and he wants to win, but it would drive you nuts if you cared about winning. If you're dropping, against Denver, he averaged like 34 and 10. He set a 3-point record and they're still getting rolled. And it would drive you nuts unless you're just like, okay, I have to compartmentalize this. Yep. I'm scoring, I'm getting paid. Otherwise, you'd be a miserable human being. Like in sports, sometimes we don't want our athletes to be selfish, but I get when they are. Like, I get Dame, like, I'm just going to protect my psychology here. I'm making money. I'm getting points. I make all-star teams. I'm beloved in the city. I'm going to get past it. The winning, just to protect, it's like a mechanism to protect.
No, I think compartmentalize is the best word to describe it. Because it's outside of your control.
It would drive you nuts.
Yeah.
It would drive, if winning, like we saw Kobe Bryant when it was, when Shaq left and he didn't get Gasol. It drove Kobe crazy. I mean, he just, get me out of here. I can't, it's like, at some point, and Kobe was taking like 30 shots a game and people were criticizing him in LA saying Kobe's shooting too much. Kobe's probably thinking, we're getting blasted by 50 tonight. What do I care? I want to get my points and my money. So Kobe could be a good team player. But in that moment, what was the point of being a great team? I don't trust my teammates. So,
want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
This weekend, the Westminster Dog Show is on Fox. On Saturday, it's the Masters Agility Championship beginning at 5 Eastern. Then Sunday at 7, it's Best in Show. Catch it all on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
Do you think the dogs enjoy that? You think they're having fun?
I think so.
They probably feed them real well.
Yeah, I'm sure they get leet snacks. They probably get good, like, doggy participation bags.
My dogs are so
smart.
Swag
bags.
So we feed our dogs at 7:30 in the morning and 5:30 at night. I swear to God, my dogs can tell when it's 5:25. I swear to God, they're so smart. It literally... they're good all day. At 5:25, they just start running around the kitchen. And my buddy will stare at the refrigerator. At 5:25, I'm like, can you tell time? How does he know that?
The refrigerator?
No. He'll go up to the refrigerator. He'll stare at
it. The dog food's in the refrigerator?
Yeah, we have this. My wife, I'm not trying to be bougie, but we spend money on, I don't want to get into it. It's okay. It's embarrassing.
I was confused for a second.
Yeah, so we have this stuff we order. We get a box of it every week. It's really over the top.
Okay.
But the dogs love it. And our dogs are used to be heavy, and our dogs are thin, and it's just...
Well, yeah, I'm sure it's better for them.
It's way better for them. It's honest to God, when we first got it, I thought it was people food. A couple drinks in one night, I looked in, and I'm like, that looks... And then it has their names on it. It has their names on the dog food.
Is this the livery dog food?
Yeah, it says Buddy and Yossi, so each one's slightly different color. Listen, I know it's a little over the top, but we're into dogs.
We're also in L.A., so L.A. is like a dog city.
You cannot believe it. Everywhere.
There are dog stores. Like, I can't eat. Like, I'm confused. I'm like, wait a minute, this is a pet store?
When you go to dinner in Los Angeles, there'll be a dog in the restaurant.
100%.
Every single time.
They have special, like, bowls they'll bring out for your dog. It's a very dog-friendly city.
But dogs are incredible. Like, these dogs dance around and prance, but they're not as smart as my dog. None of those dogs go to the refrigerator every night at 5:25 and stare at it.
Well, I would, too, if I had a special-made...
But he doesn't do it at 4:25. There's something about the sunlight.
Yeah.
He can tell that...
Animals tend to have those kind of instincts.
So smart. I'm fascinated by it.
The only thing about LA that confuses me with the dogs is that you can't bring your dog to the beach.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, like, but you're not allowed to have dogs on the beach. You're not supposed to anyway.
Not supposed to give them chocolate either. I got a Snickers bar for Buddy in my pocket
your
right
dog's
now.
Chocolates.
Joy with the news. No.
Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
Well, Dak Prescott. Getting some more checks. God. He's reportedly leaving Adidas, signing a 5-year deal with Jordan Brand, according to Adam Schefter. Prescott will be the only Jordan Brand quarterback, the only Cowboys player, and the highest paid NFL player on Jordan Brand roster. He's been with Adidas since his rookie season with the Cowboys. Mississippi State, Dax College was also an Adidas school.
Yeah.
So earlier this offseason, he became the spokesman for Anheuser-Busch. He also has deals with Pepsi, Sleep Number, Dannon Yogurt, Campbell's Soup, 7-Eleven, AT&T, and Beats by Dre, among others, since becoming the Cowboys star.
And by the way, this is what happened. You know, why do advertisers trust Dak? There's a very good, not very good point by me, but I mean, this is a real clear thing. He's a grown-up. He's not going to humiliate you or embarrass you. So why will advertisers... embrace it. And by the way, most of these advertisers have signed second and third contracts with him. He's been doing that yogurt company for years. Why? He's safe. He's smart. He's a good guy. He doesn't embarrass you at the podium. He wears his hat mostly on forward. He's a grown up. But I mean,
no, he is. He's a very
polished,
but he's also very genuine. It doesn't come across as manufactured.
I totally agree.
Or forced.
Sometimes Aaron Rodgers can be a little.
Is he like, he kind of has this little arrogance about him. I don't know. None of that.
None of it.
He's very down to earth, very straightforward.
Think about the money we're talking, Joy. He is now, I mean, it's really, in the United States, generally, the greatest players get the greatest money.
Yeah.
And by the way, in America, corporate America, the best employees get the most money. But we've probably all worked with somebody before that you're like, man, they're good at making money. The timing is good. Dak has figured the game out. I bet you Dak Prescott is one of these. I bet you he's one of these guys. I'd bet $1 zillion. He goes and does speaking engagements to the yogurt company, to their salespeople. Like, Dak's one of those guys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's part of the gig.
I bet you Dak is one of those, sit there for hours and sign autographs. And everybody always says you're a sellout, you know, because you do commercials.
But it's easy to say that you're a sellout when you don't have Dan and yogurt offering you millions of dollars to advertise.
The garage band always claims U2 is a sellout. You ever notice that?
Yes.
U2 is selling out the Rose Bowl.
It's easy to be critical. I mean, look, a lot of people were very critical of the Mayweather-Paul situation. I mean, I was discussing it while watching the fight. I'm like, you know, a legacy this, and you've made this, and your record and all that. And I'm like, but you know what? No one's offered me $100 million for an hour's worth of work before. It's very easy for me to sit here and be like, I wouldn't do.
New rule on the show. Add that Ryan put this rule down.
Oh, we have lots of rules now.
You cannot call somebody a sellout unless you've been offered seven figures to do something yourself. You can't call people a sellout unless you've been the, because otherwise, anybody can say sellout. But if you've been offered seven figures to do something for a sponsor or a boss, and you turn it down, you have the right to call it a sellout. I don't want to hear about Twitter loser with 8 followers saying sellout. Nobody cares. Your family doesn't even follow you, don't even care about you.
I do think, though, Dak is in not a unique situation, but I think there's a lot of guys who carry a certain amount of respect who are also could be considered corporate Russell Wilson. Tom Brady certainly played the corporate line.
But
for
those guys are like Hall of Fame first ballot guys.
Yes, so that's the difference. And I think that Dak carries I mean, you saw all the players were like, he deserves to be paid. Like, we support Dak getting paid. And this is part of the reason why I knew Dak was going to get paid and supported him being paid, because everybody isn't Tom Brady. Everyone isn't Aaron Rodgers. But Dak brings a specific skill set to the Dallas Cowboys. The biggest brand in all of sports in the world.
And with Dak, you'll never have chaos on or off the field. There's value in stability, and Dak gives you that broken ankle. He's not going to get hurt again. I mean, he's a really durable kid, college and pro.
We would love some J's, Dak.
Some what?
I would love some J's. Some Jordans.
Oh, is that the brand? Okay, all right. I thought that was a Kanye brand. I don't know.
No.
So J's or Michael Jordan brand shoe?
That's what people call Jordans, J's.
Is that so? You call them J's?
J's, yes.
Is MJ too much a mouthful?
No, like, just call Jordan J's. Like, if I walked in with a pair of Jordans on, I'd be like, oh, like nice.
Well, I mean,
J's.
MJ is fast. Now you just shortened it to J's. Like, MJ was too much.
Well, no, you don't say nice MJs because they're Jordans. That's so the you old say nice J's.
That's the old Ellen DeGeneres joke. You ever hear her joke on Go-Gurt?
No.
She said, like, it took so long to eat yogurt, they made it faster. We've got Go-Gurt, so you can peel it. It's like, because you sat down for hours, yogurt was so difficult to consume.
I know, but Go-Gurt, you don't need a spoon.
Well, shouldn't you use a spoon with yogurt?
But that's why it's Go-Gurt, because you don't need a spoon.
Because yogurt was so slow and time-consuming.
Go-Gurt. So Rudy Gobert reclaimed the NBA's Defensive Player of the Year last night, becoming only fourth player ever to win the award at least three times. And he was shocked about, once again, winning the award.
Unbelievable. When I started basketball, when I was as a kid, you know, if somebody would have told me that I was going to be Defensive Player of the Year, I would have never believed them, and let alone three times. I mean, I try to write my own, you know, my own story, try to, you know, enjoy my own journey, but just being around one of the only four guys that have won that award that many times, it's he's just amazing.
He won the award in 2018 and 2019. Giannis won last year. So he joins Mutombo, Ben Wallace.
International player. Another international player. It's incredible how many great international players.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a testament to the game that that it has become. Well, it's not recently become, but it has embraced being an international sport.
It's amazing. The MVP, the defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible the quality. And by the way, can I just say this about all the critics of the NBA? More than any league in America, by far, tell me the bad guy in the league. Like football players, you get your stories. Baseball players, you get your stories. Hockey guys, stories. Who's the bad guy in the league?
Well, LeBron and China.
God, give me a break. No, I mean like trouble and...
No, I know what you're saying. I'm just saying like that's what people are going to tweet you because they have special American phones.
Nobody in my social circle has ever asked me about LeBron in China. No, again, that's just loud people that want to get clicks on the internet. Like, it's amazing. You have this international sport and...
They do a tremendous job. And it's also why I push back on the notion that it's like it's dangerous to empower players. Like, no, it's not. Does it shift the power balance from the traditional form? Yes. But guys are doing an amazing job with their money. They're incredible in the community. They care about their fans. Like, it's an incredible sport, doing an amazing job. And it's international now, which means we're only going to continue to expand
right. The
skill and diversity of players. So James Harden and Jeff Green have been ruled out for game 3 against the Bucks tonight.
This is a huge
game tonight.
If the Nets win... You got to fire people in Milwaukee.
It's going to be drama. So when asked after practice, Steve Nash floated the possibility of Green returning Sunday for game 4, but he wouldn't set a time on when he or Harden will be ready. Harden played 43 seconds of game 1 against the Bucks on Saturday and then was gripping his right hamstring and he's out. So he missed 18 games in the regular season with the right hamstring strain. So this has been bothering him all season. Yeah. Green strained his left plantar fascia in game 2 and has been dealing with that issue all season. So the Nets are up 2-0 in the series. Bucks are favored by 3.5, according to Fox Bet, as the series returns to Milwaukee tonight. This is a must-win game for Milwaukee.
So I get Jazz, Clippers, and Brooklyn-Milwaukee tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's a great night. Last night, I got to be honest with you. Middle of the second quarter, game was over. You're like, so I watched the third, and I'm like,
well, it was blowout. Yeah.
Yeah. End of the third, I'm like, listen, I may wake up and Denver won, but it's getting ridiculous.
I got to say, though, out of all of the games that we've watched this postseason, I don't want to be hyperbolic, but it feels like Suns fans are
nuts.
Like, just the most, they have created the most fun environment. Like, literally, I was watching that game last night, like, thank God we have fans back. Like, it just compare, and we got through the bubble, and I thought the NBA did an incredible job with the aesthetics and like making it feel as best as you could in that circumstance. But having the Suns fans, and they always show the kids going nuts, which is great because like that's the next generation of Suns fans and NBA fans. It's so fun to watch.
You know, it's funny. I was reading some like media critics, and they were saying last week that LeBron's out of the playoffs and the ratings will suffer. I got to be honest with you. I've always judged sports based on what it feels like to me because I think I'm outside of the home run derby, which I think is a waste of time and fans love. I love everything the fans do, and I'm bored with everything the fans are bored with. For some reason, America loves the home run derby. It just is batting practice, and I think it's goofy. But I'm loving – I have watched everything.
Yeah.
Like last year in the bubble, I had to watch. It's a pandemic. I couldn't go to a restaurant. I live in a place with a bunch of restaurants. By the way, I've been sitting home watching NBA games. I think the games have been great. I don't miss LeBron at all. Nothing against him.
I was sad to see LeBron go in the first round, but I'm with you. I think that the level of play is so high. There are still a lot of stars.
Good stories. I got the Clippers story where they could finally win. I've got Utah and the Clippers story, and then I get the Suns story. I think the
Trae Young.
I'm getting all these great stories.
The Sixers, it's really, I'm with you. It's really been great.
Yeah, joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
Listen, I over the course of a year, I do about 65% NFL. 65, if you count the draft, probably 70% NFL. And Green Bay is the only NFL story we've done. We did a little Julio Jones on Monday. I don't know. I did watch the United States men's national team last night. We crushed Costa Rica. Do not challenge us. We're now a power.
Oh, now we're
no. After we beat Mexico, my attitude has totally changed. We should be favored in the World Cup. We're a total power. Weston McKennie came on the show yesterday. I'm back. I gave up. I gave them up for 2 years. I gave them up. After that,
you did.
They lost to Trinidad Tobago in some qualifier. I gave them up. I'm like, I'm not. You're not going to break my heart anymore. You're not going to keep cheating on me and breaking my heart. I literally quit being a fan because that's the only team that we cover that I'm a total dork fan. I mean, I don't care if people think I'm
my best in bar sports experience was the U.S. men's national team in the World Cup. Like the feeling of winning with like that unity, which we never get in this country anymore.
It's great.
Was like, it was incredible.
So
everyone chanting the same. I'm like, oh, this is what it is.
When we didn't make the World Cup, I was tired of being hurt.
Yeah.
I just said, I'm done with you. And then they beat Mexico.
And you're right back in.
Fanboy. Total fanboy this morning.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it, you listen to it, I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want a gift for dad? Tommy John underwear, 20% off your first order, tommyjohn.com/herd. Check out the site for the merch and details. By the way, we predicted this. It happened very fast during the pandemic. We said last year in the college football season, they're going to expand to an 8 to a 12 team playoff. For years and years, president said, no, 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 no. They all caved. Why? Because the sport hemorrhaged money last year. Even college football powers, many of them took loans from banks. They got bills to pay. We are going to go to a college football playoff. We predicted it on this show. I was talking to athletic directors. It's going to be 12 teams. I'm fine with it under two stipulations. Number one, it's not going to solve anything. You're going to have more blowouts. Just come to terms with that. It's not going to solve college football. College football is still great. You're just going to have more blow. Alabama's going to beat a 12 seed by 40 and a 6 seed by 30, and then they'll play somebody else and hammer them. Alabama's still going to dominate. Bringing a bunch of lightweights in with three losses is not going to change anything. Alabama's still got the best coach and the best program. And Ohio State and Clemson, all the big dogs going to win, Oklahoma, blah, blah, blah. But I'm for more meaningful games. Here's the second thing. I'm for this if you get rid of all these out-of-conference games. I don't need to see Alabama play Citadel three times. To me, you get one out-of-conference game, and then you go right into your conference schedule. But Colin, these schools need those home games. No, they don't. Not if they don't cut their non-revenue sports. If you got 30 sports, get rid of 25 that don't make any money. There's no reason to have garbage games littered all over Clemson's schedule and Auburn's schedule and go right into conference play. You can't keep asking these guys to play 16. Now you want the kids to play 16 and 17 games. How many games do you want an Alabama kid to play? You're not paying him anything. So, again, I'm fine. You want to play 11 games, go to a playoff, fine. But now you're getting to a point where 14 games, 15 games, we're going to ask these kids to play 17 games. Get rid of all these crappy bowl games and all these stupid out-of-conference games. But, Colin, those small schools can't survive without playing blankety-blank. Well, bummer. Get a lacrosse team instead. If your program can't survive without getting drilled by Tennessee or LSU or Oklahoma or Oregon, shut the doors down. Because it hurts the quality of the sport. So I am for the playoff. But unless you can't keep asking these kids to play 16, 17 games, NFL, those SEC kids, those are...
They're not going to play. They won't play in the playoffs. I mean, if you're playing for one of those schools that really doesn't realistically have a chance of winning the national championship and you're faced with possibly playing, 15, 16 games and getting hurt, you're just gonna play.
Yeah.
You know you're going to the NFL, why would you play?
Yeah. So college football doesn't have an athlete problem. They don't have a marketing problem. What they have is a too many lousy game problem. There's about, by the time you get to about the third week of the year, You're down to about four good games a weekend, most of them in the South. Like, you get mismatches everywhere. NFL, there's maybe one game a weekend that you and your friends are like, yeah, just skip over that one. We won't even watch that on the red zone. That's no good. But the quality of college football, there's a lot of it. Too many great teams playing bad teams. That's the issue with the sport. And those games end up on television, and they hurt my eyes. And as a son of an optometrist, I don't want my eyes hurt. All right, we're going to go to Green Bay. The Packers, very exciting. Jordan Love talked. It was interesting. He played yesterday. He was fantastic. Heading to Green Bay next.